The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Today, our first book is called My First Kwanzaa by Karen Katz. Kwanzaa is a special festival celebrated here in the United States by many African Americans. It starts the day after Christmas and goes for 8 days until January 1st. So here we go, my first Kwanzaa. Hooray, hooray, it's time to get ready for Kwanzaa. First we get the kinara. It's made of shiny wood. It looks like a long candlestick. I put in seven candles, three red, one black, three green. We light a candle every night to celebrate a special idea. Mommy brings the kikombe, the unity cup. For each child, we place one ear of corn, called muhindi, on a straw mat. My brother adds apples, squash, yams, and nuts. The fruits and vegetables, mazao, remind us of the end of the harvest and the beginning of the planting season. Just like in Africa. Umoja means unity. On the first day of Kwanzaa, neighbors come to visit. We ask, Habari Gani? That means, what's the news? We laugh and talk and sing. We are friends and family all together. The second day is called Kujichagulia, self-determination. On the second day of Kwanzaa, I asked Mommy to braid my hair in a fancy African way, and it makes me feel very proud. The third day, Ujima, means working together. On the third day of Kwanzaa, we plant flowers in the lot next door. We all work together to make our neighborhood very pretty. Ujamaa means helping our neighbor grow. On the fourth day of Kwanzaa, we buy special food for our celebration. We like to shop in our neighborhood stores to keep the businesses strong. Nia means purpose. On the fifth day of Kwanzaa, I dream of what I can be. Someday I will be an African dancer like my Aunt Tasha. Kumba means creativity. On the sixth day of Kwanzaa, my cousin and I paint a clay pot and weave some baskets. We will make our house beautiful with the things we create. Imani means faith. On the seventh day of Kwanzaa, we light the last candle to show our faith in ourselves and in our family and in our future and in our past. And there it shows all the candles lit. Three red ones, the middle black one, and three green ones. Grandma gives us kawadi, gifts for promises we have kept all year. A handmade doll for me and an African shaker gourd for my brother. At last, it is time for the feast. We call it karamu. Friends come over and everyone cooks delicious African food. The house smells so good, spicy chicken and sweet yams. We all take a sip from the unity cup and share our wonderful meal all together. Then we sing, dance, play music, and celebrate. Happy Kwanzaa! And all the family is dancing and singing together. Our next book is called The Good Pie Party by Liz Garten Scanlon. Peggy Posey Payton doesn't want to move. She doesn't want to pack her books or take down her bird feeder or undecorate her secret clubhouse. And she really, really doesn't want to say goodbye. "My mom says we should enjoy the time we have," says Megan, getting into position for the perfect pyramid. "You can't even make a pyramid without three people," says Posey, climbing glumly to the top. "My mom says we should count our lucky stars. We're such good friends," says Bay, unpinning the pictures from the walls. "We might as well call them unlucky stars now," Posey said, pulling the curtains closed. "My mom says we should have a goodbye party." Posey shuts the door behind them. "But then we'd have to say goodbye," says Megan and May. "I know," said Posey. "That's what I mean." Back inside the house, every room is boxed up except the kitchen. "There's nothing to do but bake," sighs Posey. "Pie?" asks Megan. "We'll help," says May. So the girls roll out dough and push it into a deep glass pan. They peel apples and sprinkle them with cinnamon and cloves. They crimp the edges of the pale white crust. "It smells delicious in here," said Posey's mom. "Harumph," answers Posey, even though she's feeling a little bit better already. "We're making pie," says Megan. "Hot, sweet, good pie," says May. "Wait," says Posey. "Good pie. Good pie is better than goodbye." Mom laughs. And so do Megan and May. "What about a good pie party, Mom?" asks Posey. "I like that idea." As it turns out, everyone does. So the girls make plans and invitations, one by one. "Don't forget the Youngs," said Posey's dad from behind a stack of newspapers. "Or Miss McNally," calls Mom from the coat closet. "Or Roman," says Posey. "Or Lucy," says Megan. "Or Jane," says May. And the invitation says, "You're invited to Posey Payton's Good Pie Party. We'll say so long, but not goodbye. We'd love it if you'd bring a pie." The list grows and grows, and next afternoon everyone arrives with lawn chairs and cameras. And pie upon pie upon pie. There are all sorts of pies there. Looks like even a pizza pie. So many different kinds. Posey spoons out whipping cream. Megan and May pour the lemonade for everyone. All the kids make a huge pyramid. As the sun sinks, Posey's dad asks if she'd like to make a toast. "To good friends," Posey calls. "Good friends," answers everyone. "And good pie," she says, with a little lump in her throat. "Good pie," whisper Megan and May, with lumps in their throats, too. When everyone leaves, the girls stretch out on the grass and stare at the lopsided moon. "Look," says Posey, "even the sky has brought a pie." "That's one we could always share," says Megan. "Even when you move away," says May. "Lucky us," says Posey as the stars start to shine. "Lucky us," say Megan and May. The story is The Little Bird Takes a Bath, Mary Sabina Russo was the author. It was a rainy night in the city. Little Bird sat looking at the street below. He watched the umbrellas bobbing up and down. He listened to the taxis honk, honk, honking. He felt the thunder in his tiny wings. "I don't like rain," said Little Bird. "I don't like rain at all." And then he nestled down and closed his eyes and dreamed of tomorrow. In the morning, Little Bird woke up early. He looked out over the street below. No more umbrellas, no more honking, no more thunder. "Rain, rain, gone away," sang Little Bird, who always started his day with a song. "What a perfect day for a bath." And off he flew, over rooftops, around lampposts, and under awnings. Little Bird saw puddles everywhere. Some looked too big. Some looked too small. Some puddles were already crowded with other bird bathers. At last, Little Bird spotted the perfect puddle. He swooped out of the sky and landed with a happy splash. "My puddle, my puddle, my puddle," chirped Little Bird. But then something was bounce, bounce, bouncing straight at Little Bird. Oh, no! And he skittered out of the way. Guess what happened? A big ball landed in his puddle, and it splashed out, and Little Bird hopped out. He was so afraid. When it was quiet again, Little Bird hopped back into his puddle. "That was close," he cheeped. "Oh, that was so close." "Rub-a-dub-dub-dub," sang Little Bird. But then something was flip-flop-flopping straight at Little Bird. Oh, no! He flew out of the way faster than before. Guess what it was? It was a little girl in flip-flops splashing through his perfect puddle. When it was quiet again, Little Bird hopped back into his puddle. "That was closer," he cheeped. "That was even closer." "Row, row, row your boat," sang Little Bird. But then something was arf, arf, arfing straight at Little Bird. Oh, no! He flitted out of the way as fast as he could, and there was a big old dog splashing in his puddle. When it was quiet again, Little Bird hopped back into his puzzle. "Closest yet," he cheeped. "The very closest yet." But Little Bird wasn't happy with his puddle anymore. Almost all the water had been splashed away. Little Bird trilled a sad song. "No more bath today, no more bath today." Now he'd have to wait for another rainy night. And remember, Little Bird did not like rain. He did not like rain at all. Little Bird flapped his tiny wings and started to head home to his nest, under awnings, around lampposts, and over rooftops. But then, what was that? Shining, sparkling, and shimmering down below. It looked like a fountain, a splashy, swirly fountain, just the right size for Little Bird. Little Bird swooped out of the sky and landed with a happy splash. He shook and wiggled and fluttered his wings until he was as clean could be. At last, Little Bird was ready to fly home again. He saw the long shadows spreading across the sidewalks. He heard the loud buses rumbling down the streets. He smelled the good smells arising from the kitchen windows. The sky was pink. There would be no rain tonight. The moon's pale face appeared between two buildings, as Little Bird landed on his ledge. "Good night, sweet sky. Rock-a-bye," he sang, because Little Bird always ended his day with a song. And then he nestled down and closed his eyes and dreamed about tomorrow. This story is Lil Rabbit's Kwanzaa by Donna L. Washington. Lil Rabbit was not having a very good Kwanzaa. Being the littlest rabbit in the family wasn't easy. He couldn't remember the names of all the different days of Kwanzaa. He wasn't allowed to light the candles. His brothers and sisters made wonderful gifts to share. Little Rabbit was too embarrassed to share his gifts. He hated being the youngest. He was always in the way, and everyone told him that he was too little to help. The only part of Kwanzaa that he really loved was the big feast called Karamu. This day he wasn't even going to have that. Grandma Rabbit was sick. She lay in bed all day drinking dandelion tea. Mama Rabbit was so busy taking care of her that she didn't have time to cook. "Mama, if Grandma Rabbit is sick, who will make the feast of Karamu?" Little Rabbit asked his mother. "Shame on you, Little Rabbit," his mama said. "Grandma Rabbit is sick, and all you think about is your stomach. Now you go outside." Little Rabbit hopped out and sat on the big gnarled tree stump. He really wanted to go and talk to Grandma Rabbit. She was very wise. Little Rabbit sat and thought. He thought about all the things his Grandma said about Kwanzaa. "Kwanzaa is a special time when we help each other." "That's what Grandma Rabbit said." "That's it," Little Rabbit jumped up and danced around. "I'll bring Grandma Rabbit a special treat for Karamu. It will make her feel better." Little Rabbit hopped down the road. "Where are you going so fast?" Mama Oriole asked Little Rabbit. "I'm going to find a tasty treat for Grandma Rabbit. She's sick. I want her to have a good Karamu." Little Rabbit hopped away. Mama Oriole, who was an orange bird with some black on her wings and on her head and tail, Mama Oriole did not know what Karamu was, but she knew Grandma Rabbit. Grandma Rabbit always brought out warm seed cakes and warm pudding when the weather got cold. "Poor Grandma Rabbit," said Mama Oriole. "I wish there was something I could do to help." Little Rabbit stopped by the side of the path. He looked under some logs to see if he could find something special for Grandma Rabbit. "What are you doing, Little Rabbit?" asked Groundhog, sticking his head out of a patch of grass. "I'm trying to find a zawadi, or a gift, for Grandma Rabbit. She's sick. I want her to feel better." And Little Rabbit hopped off down the path. Groundhog didn't know what a zawadi was, but he knew Grandma Rabbit. She always had time to make little toys for the animals when they were bored. "Poor Grandma Rabbit," said Groundhog. "I wish there was something I could do to help." Little Rabbit hopped down to the pond. Maybe he could find something pretty for Grandma Rabbit. "What are you doing, Little Rabbit?" asked the frogs. "I'm looking for something pretty for Grandma Rabbit. She's sick. She should have something too pretty to hang on the wall at Kwanzaa time." Little Rabbit scratched an ear and hopped away. The frogs didn't know anything about Kwanzaa time, but they knew Grandma Rabbit. She could paint beautiful pictures and write wonderful poems. "Poor Grandma Rabbit," said one of the frogs. "I wish there was something we could do." Little Rabbit hopped through the field looking for berries. "Where are you going, Little Rabbit?" Mama Field Mouse asked. She was dragging all of her children behind her. "Grandma Rabbit is sick," said Little Rabbit. "I'm going to make sure she has a good Karamu. I'm going to find as many berries as I can." Little Rabbit looked proud as he hopped through the meadow. Mama Field Mouse didn't know anything about Karamu, but she knew Grandma Rabbit. Grandma Rabbit helped out with the children, and Mama Field Mouse had to run errands. "Poor Grandma Rabbit," said Mama Field Mouse. "I wish there was something I could do to help." "Good morning, Little Rabbit," said Papa Squirrel. "Why are you sniffing around the trees?" "I'm looking for something to give Grandma Rabbit. She's sick. I want her to have a good Kwanzaa." Little Rabbit hopped away. Papa Squirrel didn't know anything about Kwanzaa, but he knew Grandma Rabbit. She always helped him gather nuts in the fall. She even helped him remember where he hid those nuts. "Poor Grandma Rabbit," said Papa Squirrel. "I wish there was something I could do to help." Little Rabbit spent the whole day trying to find something for Grandma Rabbit. He searched as hard as he could, but he didn't find anything at all. He was very sad. "I guess I am too little to do anything." As the sun was setting, he hopped slowly home. When he opened the door, he had a big surprise. Everyone was there. Grandma Rabbit was sitting in the big chair with a huge smile on her face. The frogs had brought pink flowers from the lily pads. Mama and Papa Spider hung them from the ceiling like lanterns with their webs. Mama Oriole was conducting a fine chorus of birds. Groundhog brought little toys and gifts for everyone. Mama Field Mouse had gotten together with Mama Possum and Mama Raccoon to make a delicious feast. The air was full of excitement. Mama Rabbit served the plates, and Little Rabbit ate until he thought he would burst. Look at all that good food on the table. After that, Papa Rabbit told funny stories about Br'er Rabbit, Anansi the Spider, Guinea Fowl, and Mosquito. The stories made everyone laugh. And then Papa Spider plucked on his web strings, Cricket got out his fiddle, and all the animals had a wonderful dance. Grandma Rabbit taught everyone a new word. "Harambee," she called out as her friend danced. "It means let's pull together." "We don't need anyone to tell us that," said Papa Squirrel. "We've already pulled together." Everyone laughed and shouted, "Harambee, harambee, harambee." When the karamu was over, Little Rabbit sat with his Grandma in the big chair. "Why are you so sad, Little Rabbit?" his Grandma asked. "Didn't you have a good time?" "Yes," Little Rabbit said quietly, "but I wanted to do something special for you." Grandma Rabbit just laughed. "You silly rabbit," she said, hugging Little Rabbit tight. "If you hadn't gone off looking for karamu this morning, it never would have found its way here tonight." Little Rabbit frowned. "But I'm the only one who didn't have anything to share." His Grandma smiled. "You shared your dream, Little Rabbit, and your dream brought all of our friends and neighbors together. That's a big thing." Little Rabbit felt proud. "My dream did all that?" "Yes, but I'm not surprised," said his Grandma. "Well, why not?" said Little Rabbit. "Because I have faith in you." "If you have faith, Little Rabbit, there's always hope." "Oh, I'll try to remember that," said Little Rabbit, yawning. "By the way," said Grandma Rabbit, snuggling him very close, "this was the best karamu ever." Our last book for today is called Beachy and Me by Bob Stake. "This island's very tiny," cried Pixie Picklespear. "No wonder I'm so lonely. I'm the only kid who's here." Pixie Picklespear lived in the lighthouse on the island. Cooped up inside the dinky house, well, what could Pixie do? She was bored with every board game and her jigsaw puzzles, too. Bored, bored, bored. Something big had come ashore. It seemed to have a tail. Pixie was now staring at a giant washed-up whale. Oh, dear, this must look rather odd. Quite anything but peachy. Apparently I've washed ashore. Hello, my name is Beachy. Just get me to the ocean, kid. That's where I need to be. And then I'll show you many games that we can play at sea. I can help you, Pixie cried. But his skin bounced back like rubber. She pushed the whale. She heaved and shoved. He just had too much blubber. Oh, look, the tide is coming in. It's time to catch our ride. I'll be your true blue friend and then your ocean playtime guide. Pixie made a big kersplash that soaked the rocks with foam. The sloshy waves washed Beachy free. At last the whale was home. Beachy taught her how to breach. That's how to jump out of the waves and dive back in again. And to ride tsunami waves. Pixie learned how to hold her breath and swim through hidden caves. They splished and splashed all summer long. They made that ocean bubble. They flipped and flopped and bobbed like corks, a wet and wild, odd couple. But then, Beachy listened to his heart. It told him, time to sail. He had to migrate once a year to be with other whales. Don't worry, Pixie, Beachy said. We'll soon be back at play. I'll always be your true blue friend. And I'll return one day. Poor Pixie, all alone again on the island, with no one to play with. Pixie moped around the house. She missed her giant friend. The smiles they shared, the laughs, the funs. Oh, why did it have to end? Mope, mope, mope. Splash! Pixie grabbed her lighthouse beam. She shined it through the black. She cast it on a wave and saw that Beachy had come back. There was Beachy, and it was the season for him to come back, and it was time for the friends to play again. I kept my promise, Pixie. I'm back to play with you, and now we'll meet here every year, like old friends often do. And here they are, playing on the waves all summer long. And now to finish up a poem, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, how I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. When the blazing sun is gone, when nothing shines upon, then you show your little light, twinkle, twinkle all the night. Then, like the traveler in the dark, thanks you for your tiny spark. He could not see which way you go if you did not twinkle so. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. I hope you will all listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.